Blog Talk Radio.
Presence of the Lord is here. Presence of the Lord is here. I feel it in the atmosphere. Presence of the Lord is here. Oh, presence of the Lord is here. Spirit of the Lord. Anybody feel it tonight? Spirit of the Lord is here. I feel it in the atmosphere. The Spirit of the Lord is here. Oh, the Spirit of the Lord is here. The power of the Lord is here. The power of the Lord is here. I feel it in the atmosphere. The power.
Welcome, 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 and thank you for tuning in. This is a Hodge to Hodge podcast, the Messenger Edition. I am Nurse Carmen, and we have co-producers Ken and Ron Hodge. And again, we thank you for tuning in. And next, we will be having a conversation with the Messenger, Ron Hodge.
Good evening, and thank you all for tuning in tonight. I do apologize for our missed shows. We've been having technical difficulties, but we are back. I want us to, as you listen to this podcast, as I'm saying some of the things that are being said, I ask that you ask yourself every time something is said that you just truly don't know or sounds crazy to you, I want you to just ask yourself that. And then when you ask yourself, I want you to just be still and listen to that voice inside of you that answers you. You've heard that saying, try the spirit by the spirit. So what I want you to do now is try the spirit by the spirit. In the last 10, 15 minutes of the show, I'll open it up if someone wants to ask me something. But I really, really want the answer that you desire to come from God, because then that is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. You can't say that Brother Messenger told me this or somebody told me this, but this is between you and God. And this is what this podcast is about, just trying to let people know that they are connected and that God is here listening and waiting. He said, I stand at the door knocking. And all you have to do is let them in. So when you have these questions, just repeat that question to yourself and just listen. And I promise you, God will answer. I just want to start off by saying that there is no death. Life goes on forever and ever. Life is, you simply change form. After you change form, consequences cease to exist. There is just knowing. Consequences are an element of relativity. They have no place in the absolute because they depend on linear time and sequential events. These do not exist in the realm of the absolute. In that realm, there is naught but peace and joy and love. In that realm, you know at last the good news that your devil does not exist, that you are who you always thought you were, goodness and love. Your idea that you might be something else came from an insane outer world, causing you to act insanely, an outer world of judgment and condemnations. Others have judged you, and from their judgments, you have judged yourself. Now you want God to judge you, and God will not do it. And because you cannot understand a God who will not act as humans would, you are lost. Your theology is your attempt to find yourself. In theology, everything depends on what you perceive to be the purpose of life, and therefore the basis of the theology. If you believe life exists as a trial, a period of putting you through your paces to see if you are worthy, your theology begins to make sense. If you believe that life exists as an opportunity, a process through which you discover, remember that you are worthy and have always been, then your theology seems insane. If you believe God is an ego-filled God who requires attention, adoration, appreciation, and affection, and will kill to get it, your theology starts to hold together. But if you believe that God is without ego or need, but the source of all things and the seat of all wisdom and love, then your theology falls apart. If you believe that God is a vengeful God, jealous in his love and wrath in his anger, then your theology are perfect. If you believe God is a peaceful God, joyous in her love and passionate in her ecstasy, then theology are useless. I tell you this, the purpose of life is not to please God. The purpose of life is to know and to recreate who you are. In doing so, you do please God and glorify her as well. Now, I know some of you listening might say, well, why does he keep calling her God or her? Because God is neither he nor she. So I'll occasionally use the feminine pronoun to jar you out of your parochial thinking. If you think God is one thing, then you will think God is not another. And that would be a large mistake. For instance, Hitler went to heaven for these reasons. Number one, there is no hell, so there is no place else for him to go. His actions were what you would call mistakes, the actions of an unevolved being, and mistakes are not punishable by condemnation, but dealt with by providing the chance for correction or evolution. The mistake Hitler made did no harm or damage to those whose death he caused. Those souls were released from their earthly bondage, like butterflies emerging from a cocoon. The people who were left behind mourned their deaths only because they did not know of the joy into which those souls entered. No one who has experienced death ever mourned the death of anyone. Your statement that death was needless, untimely, and therefore somehow wrong suggests that something could happen in the universe when it is not supposed to. Yet, given who and what God is, that is impossible. Everything occurs in the universe is occurring perfectly. God hasn't made a mistake in a very long time. And when you see the utter perfection in everything, not just those things which you agree, but perhaps especially those things with which you disagree, you achieve mastery. You achieve mastery. So what we have to do is we have to stop for a moment and realize just who God is. And what you need to know is you've been living too long in a prison of your own device. It is time to set yourself free. You have imprisoned your five natural emotions, repressing them and turning them into very unnatural emotions, which have brought unhappiness, death, and destruction to this world. The model of behavior for centuries on this planet has been, do not indulge your emotions. If you're feeling grief, get over it. If you're feeling angry, stuff it. If you're feeling envious, be ashamed of it. If you're feeling fear, rise above it. If you're feeling love, control it, limit it, wait with it, run from it. Do whatever you have to do to stop from expressing it. Full out, right here, right now. It is time to set yourself free. In truth, you have imprisoned your holy self, and it is time to set yourself free. Now, in my brief studies of how it all got to be this way, let's go back to the time when society reorganized itself. That is when men became the dominant species and then decided it was inappropriate to display emotions, or in some cases to even have them. In an earlier part of our history, we lived on this planet in a matriarch society. Then there was a shift, and the patriarch emerged. When you made that shift, we moved away from expressing our emotions, and we labeled it weak to do so. It was during this period that males also invented the devil, the masculine god. Then you might say, man invented the devil. Yes. Satan was essentially a male invention. Ultimately, all of society went along with it, but the turning away from emotions and the invention of an evil one was all part of a male rebellion against the matriarchs, a period during which women ruled over everything from their emotions. They held all government posts, all religious positions of power, all place of influence in commerce, science, academic, healing. Then you might say, well, what power did men have? None. Men had to justify their existence, for they have very little importance beyond their ability to fertilize female eggs and move heavy objects. They were very much like worker ants and bees. They did the heavy physical labor and made sure that children were produced and protected. It took men hundreds of years to find and to create a larger place for themselves in the fabric of this society. Centuries passed before males were even allowed to participate in their clan's affair, to have a voice or a vote in community decisions. They weren't considered by women to be intelligent enough to understand such matters. Centuries more passed before they could think of actually holding the position of leadership for which they finally had the chance to vote. Others' posts of influence and power within their country, culture was similarly denied. When males finally obtained position of authority within societies, when they at least rose above their former place as baby makers and virtual physical slaves, it is to their credit that they did not even turn the tables on the women, but have always accorded females the respect, power, influence that all humans deserve, regardless of gender. Now, that was, just so you guys know, that was a joke, okay? Because men think that it's all about them. But let's get back. Before we go on about the invention of the devil, let's talk a bit about power. Because this, of course, is what the invention of Satan was all about. Women resented men keeping all the power, saying they'd be damned if they continued doing for their cultures what they do and still remain powerless. See, and both women and men were damned to repeat their own mistakes in an endless cycle of self-inflicted misery until one side or the other gets that life is not about power, but about strength. And until both see that it is not about separation, but unity, for it is in the unity that inner strength exists. It is in the separation that it dissipates, leaving gone feeling weak and powerless, and hence struggling for power. I tell you this, heal the rift between men and women. End the illusion of separation, and you shall be delivered back to the source of your inner strength. That is why, where you will find true power, the power to do anything, the power to be anything, the power to have anything. For the power to create is derived from the inner strength that is produced through unity. I'm going to say that again because I spoke to a young lady, not mentioned no name, Sister Carmen, but earlier today, letting you know that that is where you will find true power, the power to do anything, the power to be anything, the power to have anything, for the power to create is derived from the inner strength that is produced through unity. And just to give you a biblical scripture on that, it says, wherever two or three are gathered in God's name, that God is in the midst, because there's strength in unity. And this is also true in the relationship between you and God, just as it is remarkably true of the relationship between you and your fellow humans. Stop thinking of yourself as separate, and all the true power that comes from the inner strength of unity is yours. As a whole society and as an individual part of the whole, to yield as you wish. Yet remember this, power comes from inner strength. Inner strength does not come from raw power. In this, most of the world has it backwards. Power without inner strength is an illusion. Inner strength without unity is a lie. A lie that has not served the race, but that has nevertheless deeply embedded itself into your race consciousness. For you think that inner strength comes from individuality and from separatedness. And that is simply not so. Separation from God and from each other is the cause of all of our dysfunctions and suffering. Separations continue to masquerade as strength. And your politics, your economics, and even your religion has perpetrated this lie. This lie is the genesis of all wars and all the class struggles that lead to war, of all animosity between races and genders, and all the power struggles that lead to animosity, of all personal trials and tribulations, and all the internal struggles that lead to tribulations. Still, you cling to the lie tenaciously, no matter where you see it lead you. Even if it has led you to your own destruction. Now I'll tell you this. Know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. There is no separation, not from each other, not from God, and not from thing that is. This truth I will repeat over and over. This observation I will make again and again. Act as if you were separate from nothing and no one, and you will heal. This is the greatest secret of all times. It is the answer for which man has searched for millenniums. It is the solution for which he has worked, the revelation for which he has prayed. Act as if you were separate from nothing, and you will heal this land. Understand that it is about power with, not power over. What men had to do to gain control during the matriarch period was not to convince women that men ought to be given more power over their lives, but to convince other men. Life, after all, life was going smoothly, and there was worse ways men could have got through the day than simply doing some physical work to make themselves value and then have sex. So it was not easy for men who were powerless to convince other powerless men to seek power until they discovered fear. It began, this fear, with seeds of doubt sown by the most disgruntled among the males. These were usually the least desirable of the men, the unmuscular, the unadorned, and hence those to whom women paid the least attention. Still, the disgruntled men had to use the only tool they had, so they sought to grow fear from the seed of doubt. What if the woman were wrong? They asked. What if their way of running the world wasn't the best? What if it was, in fact, leading the whole society, all of the race, into sure and certain annihilation? This is something many men could not imagine. After all, didn't women have a direct line to the godness? Were they not, in fact, exactly physical replicas of the goddess? And was not the goddess good? The teaching was so powerful, so persuasive, that men had no choice but to invent a devil, a Satan, to counteract the unlimited goodness of the great mother image and worshiped by the people of the matriarch. The one thing all of their society understood was the theory of the rotten apple. Even the woman saw and knew from their experience that some children simply turned out bad, no matter what they did. Especially, as everybody knew, the boy children, who just could not be controlled. So a myth was created. One day the myth went, the great mother, the goddess of goodness, the goddess of goddess, brought forth a child who turned out to be not good. No matter what the mother tried, the child would not be good. Finally, he struggled with his mother for her very throne. This was too much even for a loving, forgiving mother. The boy was banished forever, but continued to show up in clever disguises and clever costumes, sometimes even posing as the great mother herself. This myth laid the basis for men to ask, how do we know that the goddess we worship is a goddess at all? It could be the bad child, now grown up and wanting to fool us. By this device, men got other men to worry, then to be angry that women weren't taking their worries seriously, then to rebel. The being you now call Satan was thus created. It was not difficult to create a myth about a bad child, and not difficult either to convince even the women of the clan of the possibilities of the existence of such a creature. It was also not difficult getting anyone to accept that the bad child was male. Were in male the inferior gender? This device was used to set up a mythological problem. If the bad child was male, if the evil one was masculine, who would there be to overpower him? Surely not a feminine goddess, for said the men cleverly, when it came to matters of wisdom and insight, of clarity and compassion, of planning and thinking, none doubt feminine superiority. Yet, in matters of brute strength, was not a male needed? Previously in goddess mythology, males were mere consorts, companions to the females, who acted as servants and fulfill their robust desire to lustfully celebrate of their goddess magnificence. But now a male was needed who could do more, a male who could also protect the goddess and defeat the enemy. This transformation did not occur overnight, but across many years. Gradually, very gradually, society began seeing the male consort as also the male protector in their spiritual mythology. But now that was someone to protect the goddesses from such a protector was clearly needed. It was not a major leap from male as protector to male as equal partner, now standing alongside the goddess. The male god was created, and for a while, gods and goddesses ruled mythology together. Then again, gradually, gods were given larger roles. The need for protection, for strength, began to supplant the need for wisdom and love. A new kind of love was born in these mythologies, a love which protect with brute force. But it was a love which also convert what it protects, which was jealous of its goddesses, which now did not simply serve their feminine lust, but fought and died for them. Myth began to emerge of gods of enormous power, quarreling over, fighting for goddesses of unspeakable beauty. And so was born the jealous god. It wasn't long before the jealousy of the god extended not only to the goddesses, but to all creation in all realms. We had better love him, these jealous gods demanded, and no other god, or else. Since males were the most powerful species, and God was the most powerful of the males, there seemed little room for argument with this new mythology. Stories of those who did argue and lost began to emerge. The wrath of God was born. Soon, the whole idea of deity was subverted. Instead of being the source of all love, it became the source of all fear.
a model of love which was largely feminine, the endless torrent love of a mother for a child. And yes, even a mother for her not too bright, but after all, useful man, was replaced by the jealous, wrathful love of demanding and tolerant God, who would brook no interference, allow no consequences, ignore no offenses. The smile of the amused goddess experiences limitless love and gentle submitting to the law of nature was replaced by the stern countenance of the not-so-amused god, proclaiming power over the law of nature and forevermore limiting love. This is the god you worship today, and that's how you got where you are now. It is important for you to know that you've made it all up. The idea that might is right or that power is strength was born in your male-created theology myth. The god of wrath and jealousy and anger was imaging. Yet something you imagined for so long, it became real. Some of you still consider it real today. It has nothing to do with ultimate reality or what's really going on here. What's going on is that your soul yearns for the highest experience of itself it can imagine. It came here for that purpose, to realize itself, that is, make itself real in its experience. Then it discovered pleasures of the flesh, not just sex, but all manners of pleasure. As it indulged in these pleasures, it gradually forgot the pleasure of the spirit. These two are pleasures, greater pleasures than the body could ever give you. But the soul forgot this. Well, it's the purpose of your soul, its reason for coming to the body, is to be and express who you really are. The soul yearns to do this, yearns to know itself and its own experience. This yearning to know itself, to know, is life seeking to be. This is God choosing to express. The God of your histories is not the God who really is. That is the point. Your soul is the tool through which God expresses and experiences itself. So doesn't that pretty much limit our experience? It does, unless it doesn't. That's up to you. You get to be the expression and the experience of God at whatever level you choose. There have been those who have chosen a very grand expression. There have been none higher than Jesus, the Christ, though there have been others who have been equally as high. Then you say, wait a minute, Christ is not the highest example? Is he not God made man? Christ is the highest example. He is simply not the only example to reach that highest state. Christ is God made man. He is simply not the only man made of God. Every man is God made man. We are God. Expressing in your present form. Yet, don't worry about limiting God, about how limit that makes God, for God is not limited and never have been. Do you think that you are the only form that God has chosen? Do you think you are the only creatures whom God imbibed with the essence of God? I'll tell you this, God is in every flower, in every rainbow, every star in the heavens, and everything in and on every planet rotating every star. God is the whisper of the wind, the warmth of the sun, the incredible individuality and the extraordinary perfection of every snowflake. God is majestic in the soaring flight of eagles and the innocence of the doe in the field, the courage of lions and the wisdom of the ancient ones. God is not limited to the moods of expression seen on just the planet here. You do not know who God is, but only think you do. Yet, think not who God is limited to you, or that God's divine essence, this most Holy Spirit, was given to you and you alone. That would be an arrogant thought and a misinformed one. God's beingness is in everything. Allness in God's expression, the wholeness in God's nature. There is nothing that God is not, and something that God cannot be. God's purpose in creating you, my blessed brothers and sisters, was so that God might have an experience of God's self as the creator of God's own experience. Now, I know some people don't understand, so I'll help you understand. The one aspect of God that only a very special creature could create was the aspect of God as the creator. Now, God is not the god of your mythology, nor am I the goddess. God is the creator, that which creates, yet chose to know itself in its own experience. Just as God knows his perfection of design through a snowflake, God's awesome beauty through a rose, so too did God know its creative powers through you. To you, God has given the ability to consciously create your experience, which is the ability that God has. Through you, God can know every aspect of God. The perfection of the snowflake, the awesome beauty of the rose, the courage of the lion, the majestics of the eagle, all reside in you. In you, God has placed all these things, and one thing more, the consciousness to be aware of it. Thus have you become self-conscious, and thus have you been given the greatest gift, for you have been aware of yourself being yourself, which is exactly what God is. God is itself, aware of itself being itself. That is what is meant by the statement, I am that I am. You are that part of God which is the awareness experienced. And what you are experiencing and what God is experiencing through you is God, creating God. God is in the continuing act of creating self. Now, I know I just dropped a lot on you. So what I'm hoping as we get ready to bring this podcast to a close, I want you to know that I really, 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 really apologize for the absence, and I'll do my best not to miss any more shows, but I ask that you sit back and listen to these words that were said. Once again, I want you to just meditate on them and seek God for an answer. Well, what is the messenger talking about on this? And just sit back and watch God answer it for you, because we've been in prison for too long, and it is truly time for us to come out of bondage, a bondage that we have placed on ourselves, a bondage that we have placed on ourselves. And so I'm asking that you would take heed to what was said. I hope something stirred the soul to make you want to have that conversation with God. I thank you all very much for coming out tonight. I truly hope that someone was able to get something from this. But please go back and listen to it, because it's important for us to understand just who and what we are. We were not born in sin, shaped in iniquity. That is just a fallacy that they have told us. And you have to understand that the people that told us this, they didn't know any better. They was only telling you what somebody told them. But it's time for each and every one of us to know God for themselves. And here's the trick to this. When you get to know God for yourself, you will know you. Why? Because you and God are one. I love you all very much. I pray that something was said that will inspire you to awaken from your subconscious and deal in the conscious state in which we need to be, so that we can have all that we desire to have because of who we are. I love you all very much. Take care. And I definitely will be back Sunday at 8 o'clock. Same time, same bat channel. Hodge the Hodge Podcast. Take care. Love you all. Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Good day. Is that my cousin? Oh, she just left. All right. Oh, good night, dear.